give glory to God always, because He is the author, the finisher of my faith. As I grow in grace with Him, I see how He's working not only in my life but in the lives of all of those who are surrounding me. Just like a little portion of what Dee, wasn't that awesome? Awesome introduction to Isaiah. That was an awesome introduction to Isaiah. We're cautioned and blessed at the same time. I can work with that. But it tells us all that if we're willing and we're obedient, not only should we can eat the fat of the land, but we can change the land. We can change it. We are the ones. We're God's eyes, His hands. We're God's everything on this earth. And He's equipped us all for a purpose. So thank you, Dee, for that awesome introduction to Isaiah. And so I can't wait to hear or catch on. Wherever I am, I'll be tuning in to the best of my ability. so I can hear more about what God has in store for this ministry through the 66 books of Isaiah. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You right now, Lord. We just thank You for Your word, Lord, because Your word is what's going to keep us, Father. Your word is what's going to heal us, Father. Your word is what's going to bless us, Father. And we just thank You for that word right now. Thank You for the word that's coming forth today. Let it come forth with power, with Your power and Your authority, Father, so that lives are changed, Father, so that the hearts of men and women and boys and girls can be changed upon hearing this word. And I just thank You for it. I glorify You, Lord, and I give You honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. So we're gonna I'm really just an extension of Pastor Mo when he's talking about our secret weapon, the Holy Spirit. And one way that we can continue on doing that, and what I'm going to talk about is developing the mind of Christ. How we can continue to develop the mind of Christ. We know that until a baby is born, really, we know about the flesh part, but there's a spiritual part already. When a baby's born, it's like a clean slate. It doesn't know anything, hasn't experienced anything, just warmth and nurturing that's in the mother's womb. We know that that's what a baby is doing. And everything is supplied for that baby. Baby has to do nothing. Has to do absolutely nothing while he's in the womb. But all of a sudden, here we go with the birth, and the baby's physical senses are jarred first. Not only with coming out, but with the labors of even being born. There's pressure. There's pressure there. And it's shocked at the point of birth. The senses are assailed with touch, taste, hearing, seeing, and smelling. When that baby comes out, all of this stuff is going on all at once. They were developed, they're in the womb, and now they're put to test. What am I going to do with all of this? So what does the baby do with all this? He starts yelling. I don't like it out here. Put me back. Put me back. Now I have to do some work. I have to do some work. A baby has to work for his food, actually. And the only way he can work for his food is through crying and letting us know. The mind is shocked with the realization that there's a physical world and that physical world is real. And now the soulish realm is coming into play. There's thoughts, there's emotions that are going on. And just because a baby can't verbalize at that moment, that does not mean that the soulish realm is not going on. Because now we're thinking, the baby's thinking, what in the world is going on? Now, babies vocalize through crying at any discomfort and cooing at something that is comfortable. You notice a baby's not going to cry that much when you're tickling them or holding them, or they're really going to like that. But when they're hungry or they need a little help, you will know about it. And at birth, we have evidence of the body and the soul now being in the physical world. So what about the spiritual part? It's always been this way. Scientists have tried everything that they possibly can to pinpoint when life begins. They've intercepted neurons, electrons, atoms and everything that they could try to do. They can even guesstimate when a baby's going to be born. And pretty much, unless something happens, they're pretty much on target. They can guesstimate that 9 months, 8 months, or whatever it is. And sometimes a baby surprises them, coming at full term at 7 months, and they just say, oops, we missed it. And so they'll never figure out the exact moment of conception, and the reason why they won't figure it out, because it's spiritual. They're not going to figure it out because it is spiritual. In Isaiah, turn to Isaiah 44 and 2. Isaiah 44 and 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou just from whom I have chosen. So we see right now that we've been predestinated by God already. We've been chosen already from the womb. We're already equipped with the mind of Christ, even in the womb. Even in the womb, we're already equipped with the mind of Christ right there from the womb. Why? Because we're already chosen. We're already being formed into what God would have us to do. Everything that is begins with a thought, begins with a word. You think a word, say a word. God formed the world with a thought and with a word. Turn to Genesis 1, verses 2 and 3. We find that the mind of Christ already existed in the world. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God. What moved upon the face of the earth? What moved upon the spirit of on the earth through the face of the water? The Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God was already there. The mind of God, the Spirit was already in place. And then it says on to verse 3. And God said, everything that is began with a word or began with a thought. Everything that there is. It says, and God said, let there be light. There was light. And then you know the rest of Genesis. Every time God said something, every time a thought came that God had, then something was accomplished. The more we grow in the word, the more we are developing. The more we grow, even physically, we are still developing. And until we're born again, we are constantly developing. Even while we're born again, we're constantly developing. And because we're spiritual beings, God has already imprinted on our spiritual DNA. We're already who God says we are. We don't have to guess. We're already who God says we are. Let's say this. Say, I am already who God says I am. One more time. I'm already who God says I am. And this is a covenant that God made with man. Turn to Hebrews 8 and 10. We're talking about developing the mind of Christ. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. So where is God's laws going? It's going in our minds, and I'll write them in their hearts. Where's he going to write them at? In our hearts. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks, it speaks the word. So whatever's in our heart, sometimes we need to control that, but whatever's in our heart is going to come out. It's going to come out. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. So God said he's going to put his laws into our mind. Unfortunately, the unfortunate part is right after birth, our development begins to be programmed by the world around us. It begins to be programmed by the world around us. If a baby is cold, we know it. If somebody is hurt, we know it. And our God-given identity, which we found out that is already formed in the womb, our mind, the mind of Christ is already formed in the womb, but unfortunately, our God-given identity is then threatened. It's threatened. Life itself began to develop us into what God never intended for us. He never intended for us. Child abuse, neglect, poverty, sickness, disillusionment, heartaches, heartbreak. God never intended that for his people. Never intended that. The Bible says he always think of what is good. Whatever is good, That's what God wants for us. However, life has its way of dictating. Circumstances, situations come up, and we have to deal with them. And unfortunately, at times, like I said, our God-given identity is threatened. The worst thing is that these identity developers happen in Christian homes where the parent or caregivers do not continually develop the mind of Christ themselves. Our kids are subject to us. People who are around us, because we're spiritual being, they need to understand what is going on. But if we're not in shape to help them, then all hell breaks loose. That's primarily what happens. Without discernment, and we don't teach that to our kids. Our kids are entrusted sometimes to abusers, and not only physically, but through the soul and the spirit. You can break a child's spirit by not understanding that child. We raise them up in fear and admonition of the Lord, but as a church, we fail to teach them how to fight and win spiritually. We fail to teach them how to win. We tell them, ooh, all is good, yeah, that's good, yeah. And we just la-di-da, but we fail to teach them how to fight and win spiritually. And then their spiritual identity is threatened at that time. We need to develop the mind of Christ in them as well as in ourselves. I'm always amazed at what the mind can do. Every time, and I'm not talking about synapses and neutrons, that scientific thing, but I'm just impressed on what the mind can do. The end results are usually how powerful the mind is. 300 years ago, they would have never thought about a car. I mean, somebody may have thought about it, but they couldn't figure out how to get it done. 300 years ago, we would, airplane? What? And that, what? An airplane? No. 300 years ago, a boat that's propelled by steam or electricity that can get across the ocean in a couple of days. It took months and months and months to get across the ocean. That's how God equipped man's mind to work. Like I said, we already have the mind of Christ to do good works already in the womb. Every time I get on a plane, I'm just amazed at how God can put the insight to man to create something that defies gravity. If I drop this Bible, if I hold this Bible up, it's going to fall. I mean, that's just the law of gravity. But I get in a plane, and in a few seconds after sailing on the runway, we're flying up in the sky. That's when I start holding to the seat until we get up to the sky. I'm going to let y'all know that. Yeah. No, but once you get up there, I'm amazed at what God equipped man's mind to do. Only God could have allowed this kind of progress, we call progress, to microwave. Maurice, now I know when we got married, I know we didn't have a microwave now. I know we didn't have a microwave. I know we didn't have, no, we didn't have a microwave, no. Not then. And then when we did get one, it was bigger than that sofa, right? that just sitting on. You could put two kids and a chicken in the oven, you know, in there and get it cooked. But only God could have allowed this. Let's go back to the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. We might not read the whole thing, but that's where all of this is happening at. Genesis, this is how God has equipped us already with the mind of Christ. Okay, it says the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So everybody was on one accord, and they were traveling all together. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So they're going to fix this thing so that they can always stay together. But now they want to get into heaven where God is. Something's missing here. But anyway, that's how the mind works. that's how the mind, the carnal mind works. Go ahead, dear. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is our one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. Let's read that together. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So that mind was working exactly the way God intended. However, he didn't intend for them to become God. He didn't intend for that with that mind. But this is the carnal mind at work. Go ahead, D. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Okay, so we see the Tower of Babel. There's nothing that man cannot do. Why? Because the mind of Christ was already developed in us from the womb. Okay, there was a singleness of mind, a singleness of purpose. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So let's get on to developing the mind of Christ. You have to understand the mind of Christ by understanding what Jesus' purpose is. Why did Jesus say, not just we said, but why did Jesus need to come? Because he understood his purpose and purpose in his mind to carry it out. God has anointed me. Let's go to Isaiah 61 and 1. And this is why Jesus said this even himself in Luke 4 and 18, but that's the reference point. So Isaiah 61 and 1. If this sounds familiar, Pastor Mo, that's because you taught it last week. Okay. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so that's why Jesus came. That's where Jesus understood that without him, all mankind would be lost. So he came with singleness of purpose, and he did strive to carry out his Father's will. It's time for all of us to really rise up and have the same mindset to carry out our purpose on the earth. We've been mediocre Christians long enough. I no longer want to be a part of what is called the great sleeping giant. That's what they call the church. The great sleeping giant. Why? Because we don't do it. We're not doing enough. There are plenty of us who are doing. I thank God. I thank God for the ministries. I thank God for people who are really, really are pressing in the service. Our country is in a mess. Our country is in a mess. We're called the great sleeping giant. Our country is in a mess. The answer is Jesus. It's the gospel of love and peace. It's the gospel where life is more abundantly in this time. Life is not abundantly when we're killing off each other. It's not more abundant when husbands are dishonoring wives, wives are dishonoring husbands, children are rebellious. That's not honoring God. And we all know that. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I like that song too. There's power in the name of Jesus. I can sing that thing, but I'm not going to. To break every chain. There's no chain that cannot be broken through the power of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. But first, you have to develop the mind of Christ. Developing itself means continuous progress. To grow or to cause to grow and become more mature. To start to exist, experience, or possess, to bring out the capabilities or possibilities of something. To cause to grow or expand. These are just definitions that are picked up. And to bring into being or an activity. Let's turn to Joshua 1 and 8. Find out how to develop the mind of Christ. What do we need to do with God's word in order to develop the mind of Christ? It says, Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So you have to think the way God thinks about you. It says, you do these things, meditate on my word day and night, and do what I tell you to do. And it says you'll have the good success. You're developing the mind of Christ. We don't have it all yet, because, well, it'll blow our mind for one thing. So that's why we're developing as Christians. That's why we're developing as human beings even. Philippians 2 and verse 5, that's our key scripture, Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if you're going to let something, you have to allow it to do so. That's what let means. You have to allow it to do. You have to want to develop the mind of Christ. You have to want to understand the mind of Christ. You have to want to let God do what he's doing already in your life. Okay? And the mind of Christ is also, it's a way of life. It's a way of life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, for who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. He said, we already have it. So let's develop it. Let's get it to work. Let's see. Go to verse 7 of that same scripture there, verse 7. Let me just take a look back, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And start at verse 10 of the same chapter, verse 10. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Keep going. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So we have the mind of Christ. So now we understand the things that are freely given to us by God. What's freely given to us by God? We've got all the keys that are in salvation. We got healing. We've got deliverance. We've got salvation itself. What more do we got? We got Jesus. Oh my Lord, we got Jesus. That's the mind. That's part of developing the mind of Christ, knowing that we have Jesus Christ in us. We need to be able to discern the things of God. And discernment comes through the Holy Ghost. It comes through being filled with the Holy Ghost. Having the mind of Christ gives us the answers to life situations and everything else. You have the mind of Christ. When a crisis comes up, you'll automatically know what to do. What do I do? A lot of times we do say that, and that's fine too. God can work with that too. What do I do? And here's that Holy Spirit that's rising up within you according to the verses that are just read. You have the mind of Christ, so you can know what to do with that. Do we know anybody who's prone to panic and confused all the time and got sketchy answers when you try to get something done? Well, that person is double-minded. The Bible tells us that a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in some of his ways. In all of his ways. That's why we definitely need to keep developing the mind of Christ. We don't want to be part of that unstable crew. And I hate to say unstable Christians. We don't want to be a part of that. And having the mind of Christ also keeps us spiritual minded. Go to Romans 8 and 1. Having the mind of Christ keeps us spiritual minded. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We've been forgiven. We've been saved. We're still saved. We're still saved. We've been forgiven. We're still saved. So we cannot fall for the lies of the enemy. When it says, remember when you were 16. Oh, my God, that was so long ago since I was 16, Judette. I don't know what happened. No. But, I mean, remember when you were 25. Remember when you were, and remember, no. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to me because I'm walking in the Spirit. There's none. There's no more. No more of that. Verse 4, the same one. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Keep going. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. One more. And I like this chapter. I could just do the whole chapter, but I'm not going to. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That's that unstable mind again. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Keep going. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And one more, the last one. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we want to continue to develop the mind of Christ. We don't want to be found to be double-minded and unstable. Okay? We only know things in part. Like I said before, if God said, okay, here's your life and here's everything, I'd probably just collapse because I probably wouldn't be able to take it. It's too much to blow my mind. So we only understand, the Bible says we understand our lives and what's going on in parts. In parts. Work with that part. Get that part done, and then let God move on to the next part. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If we're developing, we should develop from glory to glory. There should be evidence of us developing from faith to faith. Everyone should see, we should not be at the same faith level that we were July the 10th, 2015. Got where I was. But our faith should have increased by that time. Our faith should have increased. From one year ago, someone should see evidence of us walking by faith and not by sight. Philippians 4, 7 and 8. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Let's read that together. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do the last four lines tell us to do? What do the last four words tell us to do? Think on these things. So your mind should be developing, and this should be what's on your mind. This is the mind of Christ right here. This is the mind of Christ. Remember I said everything that is begins with a thought and becomes a word. So think on these things. There are several benefits to developing the mind of Christ. Turn to, Philippians 1. 9 and 10. I think that's our last scripture too. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. That is more on the mind of Christ. That's how we develop the mind of Christ. There are benefits, like I said, to developing the mind of Christ. A, you get a deeper love for the things of God. When your mind is in tune with the Spirit, you get a deeper love of the things of God. Number two, you receive greater knowledge of the Word of God. Number three. Number three, you have better judgment with choices affecting your life. Is that you get better judgment when choices affect your life? Number four, you have clear discernment of the spiritual things of God, too. You have clear discernment of the spiritual things of God. Number five, you don't give offenses to people. You try your best not to offend. Okay. Number six, you show your fellow Christians and the world the righteousness of God. When you have the mind of Christ, while you're developing the mind of Christ, you want to show your fellow Christian and the world the righteousness of God. And the final one, you bring glory to Jesus and to your Heavenly Father. You bring glory to Jesus and to your Heavenly Father. Those are the benefits of developing the mind of Christ. And just one last little word. Remember that God has always been developing the mind of Christ in you, even when he began to form you in your mother's womb. And it's up to us to continue developing the mind of Christ. Amen.